Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality, certified pros at Angie.com.
They say opposites attract. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is the best bed for couples. You can each choose what's right for you, whatever you like. You like a bed that feels firm, but they want soft? Sleep Number does that. You want to sleep cooler, while they like to feel warm? Sleep Number does that too. You have to feel it to believe it. Find the bed that's for both of you, only at a Sleep Number store. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, Sleep Number smart beds starting at $999. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to the lead, day two of the Republican National Convention. I am Dick Tapper, live here in Milwaukee in Battleground, Wisconsin. Behind me last night, former President Donald Trump emerged in public for the very first time since that bullet came within an inch of ending his life. The image was striking. Mr. Trump wearing a bandage on his ear, emotion on his face. He is now officially the Republican presidential nominee for the third time. But this time was unlike any other, as the crowd cheered him with chants of fight, 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 the words that he mouthed after surviving that shooting. We still do not know how that 20-year-old gunman came so terrifyingly close to killing the former president, especially in light of brand new CNN reporting that the U.S. Secret Service had actually increased security in recent weeks after getting intelligence of an Iranian plot to assassinate former President Trump. We're going to have the latest on that investigation, which leaves many questions still glaringly unanswered. What we do know now is that Mr. Trump says his brush with death has been impactful. He told ABC last night that it has changed him. He said he rewrote his Thursday convention speech to try and, quote, unite our country. I'm learning that tonight at the convention, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley will directly address those voters who are uncertain about voting for Trump. She, of course, was a Trump ally, then a Trump opponent, now again a Trump ally. And speaking of former Trump opponents turned allies, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance is now Trump's running mate. The VP pick came down to the wire. We're told NBC is reporting that Trump's sons, Eric and Don Jr., talked him out of the more establishment pick. North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum will ask Eric Trump about that reporting in just a second. Vance had a hill to climb to win the heart of Trump, given that he was once part of the Never Trump camp, once wondered in a private message if Trump was, quote unquote, America's Hitler. And he told me this in August 2016.
So who are you going to vote for?
I was hoping you would ask that.
You don't know yet.
I don't know who I'm going to vote for. I'm definitely not going to vote for Trump because I think that he's projecting very complex problems onto simple villains.
That was 2016. A big old change from that to this last night.
I was certainly skeptical of Donald Trump in 2016, but President Trump was a great president, and he changed my mind. I bought into the media's lies and distortions. I bought into this idea that somehow he was going to be so different, a terrible threat to democracy. It was a joke.
The Republican National Convention theme of tonight is Make America Safe. Once again, Republicans here will be leaning into the anxiety so many Americans have when it comes to crime and border security and illegal immigration. My colleague Aaron Burnett has insight on tonight's key messengers, including Trump's former political rivals. Aaron?
That's right, Jake. And you were just mentioning Nikki Haley. Of course, we all know just a few days ago, she wasn't even going to be attending the convention. She wasn't invited. And whether it was directly as a result of Saturday night or not, obviously things have changed so significantly. Not only is she coming, but as Jake said, she's going to be speaking tonight, and that is going to be crucial. So many people are going to want to know what she has to say, as in state after state, 20% of people continued to vote for her, even after she had gotten out of the race. That is a significant block that obviously President Biden has been trying to win over as well. So Jake reporting on how she's going to directly address her voters going to be extremely significant tonight. That is just one of several rivals, though. Senator Marco Rubio is going to speak tonight. Obviously, he was on that final list, getting the call just moments before J.D. Vance that he would not be the vice presidential nominee. Vivek Ramaswamy will speak tonight. Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, obviously also a former rival of Trump's for this nomination. So all of them speaking tonight. No doubt they'll hit this theme of safety, but this is really about the former rivals coming into the fold. And also, Jake, again, I'm sure we will hear about anxiety and fear and some dark visions. However, there also is another focus tonight, and I would say that is to show that Trump has the full backing of the power players in the Republican Party, which he does. You're going to be hearing House leadership speak tonight. Elise Stefanik, some had hoped she'd be on that VP list. She's speaking tonight. Steve Scalise is going to speak, and House Speaker Mike Johnson will appear again. So all of that heavy weight behind Trump tonight, and some crucial Senate contenders. Jake, Dave McCormick, who's running against Bob Casey in Pennsylvania, was in the front row on Saturday. He's spoken about that. He will be speaking tonight, and I'm sure that will be raw emotion from him. Carrie Lake speaking tonight, and others from the Senate candidates. So it is going to be a crucial night, really showing that Trump has the entire party, not just the MAGA part of the party, but the entire party behind him.
All right, Aaron, I'll check in with you in a little bit. We're going to have more on the Republican National Convention. But first, some breaking news. Before Saturday's assassination attempt against former President Donald Trump, there was a separate assassination plot, one by Iran, that the U.S. Secret Service and Trump campaign were aware of. Let's bring in CNN's Evan Pettis with this exclusive reporting. Evan, what more are you learning about this?
Well, Jake, this was important, new, and very specific intelligence from a human source, and that's the reason why the U.S. intelligence community and the Secret Service took it so seriously. They increased some of the protection around the former president, we are told. Now, we should make clear that this plot by the Iranians that was identified by the U.S. intelligence community, that it had nothing to do, at least as far as the investigation is concerned right now, anything to do with the shooter who was on that roof there in Western Pennsylvania on Saturday and fired those shots that injured the former president. Nothing to do with that. And so what we have is a statement from a top national security official. I'll read you just part of what they told us. They said the National Security Council directly contacted the Secret Service at a senior level to be absolutely sure they continue to track the latest reporting. The Secret Service shared that information with the detail, and the Trump campaign was made aware of an evolving threat. We also heard from the Trump campaign saying that they don't comment on any ongoing threats or their security of the former president. The Iranian mission to the United Nations also responded to our reporting, saying that these accusations are unsubstantiated and malicious. But Jake, as you know, the idea of threats from Iran have been a long-running concern for the U.S. intelligence agencies, for law enforcement here in the United States. You've had people on your air, dissidents who have been under threat from the Iranian intelligence services. We also know that they were trying to kill John Bolton. And we also know that Mike Pompeo and other people have been under on their target list, all because of the 2020 assassination of the head of the IRGC, Qassem Soleimani. So that is part of what the picture here is for the former president and, of course, for all these officials. Jake?
All right, Evan Pettis, thank you so much. Let's talk about this and much, much more.
Thanks.
After the horrible, horrible incident on Saturday, last night at the RNC, he made his first public appearance since the world saw that horrible but also iconic moment with him standing up, his fist in the air. And he seemed emotional. Yeah. I mean, that's me judging from a distance. But what was that like for you, and what was he going through?
I was watching the rally on Saturday with my children when this whole thing happened, and you know, see a guy fall, and he's got blood coming out of his ears, and you know, somebody shot him in the ear. Had he not turned last minute, his head would have been blown off. I mean, literally, it's that close. It was millimeters from taking his life, and then all of a sudden last night, he walks in here, and he walks into thunderous applause and, you know, chants of USA, USA. There were people in the audience crying. I was sitting there. You know, Proud to Be an American was a song that was playing at the moment, and I think it all hit home, right? It puts everything in perspective. My father's, you know, spent 8 years fighting the unthinkable. Every attack humanly imaginable, you've covered every single one. you know, they tried to take his life. That was the final attack, and thank God it didn't work out. But then he walks in here to just a sea of love, and you know, as much reporting as you've done from in here, I know how much love you've seen in this room.
Yeah.
The American flags, the red hats, the you know, people who love America. They're proud to be American. They want America to be number one at everything we do. They're patriotic. They love our Constitution. They love religion in this country. I mean, these are great, wholesome people from every state that we have in the nation, and it's a powerful moment. It was you know, it was almost a moment that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Because of a madman that got far too close.
What is your response to this new reporting from Evan Perez and our justice team about this U.S. Secret Service finding intelligence that there was an Iranian plot to assassinate your father?
Yeah. That's not new. I'll say that's not new in that listen, my father was the toughest president in the history on Iran. He thought it was atrocious that we gave them back $150 billion. He thought it was crazy that we're giving them money for prisoner swaps. And he went around the world telling people, hey, you buy Iranian oil and gas, they're trying to develop nuclear weapons, right? This is a country that chants death to America, just so everybody realizes it. They don't have our best interest in mind. They're trying to develop a nuclear weapon. And we were effectively allowing people to trade their oil and gas all over the world. My father finally went out and said, this is madness. They're going to use that money against the United States. They're going to hurt us in some way, shape, or form. If you buy oil and gas from Iran, we aren't going to do business. The United States of America will not do business with you. He effectively put Iran out of business, you know, out of business. And he also took out some of their nuclear scientists, as you know, Soleimani, al-Baghdadi. He took out both of them. I can only imagine that their feelings are hurt. I can only imagine that they don't like Donald Trump or anybody that wears our last name. So I don't think this is anything new. There's never been a tougher president in Iran. And it would be a huge mistake if we let them get nuclear capabilities, because believe me, they're out there. They're indoctrinating their children to chant death to America every single day. You better believe that they'll use a weapon, and you know, you'll have casualties in the U.S., the likes of which we've never seen before.
How much do you or your family want answers from the U.S. Secret Service, given obvious failures that day? Do you think that the head of the U.S. Secret Service should resign because of the obvious failures?
I've been very outspoken in terms of the people on that stage. I've probably said this 10 times now. The people on that stage love him. They would take a bullet for him. And
obviously, they ran right in front.
And they demonstrated that. One of the females on the stage, she was with me for 3 years. I know everything about her. She would take a bullet for me. She would take a bullet for him, as courageous as they come. Same with everybody else that was around him. The head of his detail was on that stage. Believe me, the last thing that they wanted was that to happen, and they did all the right things. Now take that ecosystem that travels with him. They show up at a rally. They get up on stage. They're watching for people, making sure they don't run up with a knife or try and tackle the president or do something else that's stupid, throw something at him. They're not watching rooftops 130 yards away, 140 yards away. There was a breakdown with whatever happened there. Is it? I don't even want to guess. I don't want to speculate. But they let somebody with a gun within a 130 yards of the former president of the United States and very likely the future president of the United States. And there's got to be accountability for that. There has to be accountability. Now, one of the things that was kind of devastating to me is I watched Biden last night and he said, I spoke to him, meaning he was talking about the head of the Secret Service, and he didn't realize that the head of the Secret Service was actually a her, not a him. And God, we've got to do better than this, Jake. I mean, you know me as a pretty well-reasoned human being, but we've got to do better than this. Like, you know, the president doesn't even know who the person is. And, it's pretty disconcerting. But yes, as a family member, I was enraged. I saw my father's ear with a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old sitting on my lap and my wife sitting next to me.
Are they okay? Are your kids okay? That must be traumatic seeing that violent episode must have been traumatic for so many Americans, but that's their grandpa.
Yeah, I think it's even more traumatic when they go into camp. You know, when they have a little friend at camp say, hey, I heard your grandfather was shot, right? That's even more traumatic for them. And that's not nice. It's not a nice spot to be in, but there better be answers. There better be answers as to how that can happen. We better make damn sure that can never happen again. Because, listen, regardless of political affiliation, could you imagine just consequences on the world stage of a U.S. president getting assassinated on live TV? By the way, you guys were covering the rally. Yeah. Everybody was covering the rally. That image would live on in history. The current image is going to live on in history. And frankly, his courage of standing up and pumping his fists in the air with blood streaming down his face, that's going to, you know, shows a true fighter that he is. I was proud of him in that moment, but this cannot happen in the United States of America.
So let me turn to a more fun subject. and that is there's an NBC News report that quotes a longtime Republican operative familiar with your father's vice presidential deliberations. And this report says your dad was on the verge. He hadn't yet, but he was on the verge of picking North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum as his VP. But then you and your brother, Donald Jr., stepped in. The source says, quote, Don Jr. and Eric went batshit crazy. That I'm quoting. Why would you do something so stupid? He offers us nothing. They were basically all like JD, JD, JD.
Yeah.
Is that true?
No, I don't make my father's decisions. In fact.
But did you? Of course not. But like, did you want JD Vance and make the argument?
I think the governor's an amazing guy. I've gotten to know him very well, and brilliant, articulate, knows energy as well as anyone. Would make a great pick. I know Rubio for years, and he's an amazing guy who's also incredibly articulate and perfect. And we know, obviously, J.D. Vance incredibly well. Same thing, incredibly successful, incredibly articulate, has risen through, obviously, the governmental system incredibly quickly, did well in the private sector, military, everything, right? I mean, and I can make the case for any one of those three people. I happen to love J.D., and I also see the chemistry between J.D. and my father, but no, I've never been that person. Listen, Jake, I run a great company, and I'm very proud of the company I run, and I will sit there and I'll fight by my father's side every single day. But at the end of the day, the person he chooses as vice president, make no mistake about it, that's Donald Trump's decision. That's not my decision. And I might have opinions in this world. And sometimes I choose not even to voice them, right? Because I stay in my lane. But no, that was 100%, that was 100% Donald Trump's decision. And I think he made the right one, but that was his decision to make.
Eric Trump, thank you so much. I'm so sorry what you guys went through, but I'm glad he was ultimately okay, and good luck with your kids. That's traumatic and I'm sure upsetting for them, not to mention for you and your whole family.
Thank you.
Thanks again.
Appreciate it.
Enjoy the convention. Really appreciate it. Coming up, she was Donald Trump's last rival in the Republican primary, and now Nikki Haley will have a primetime speaking slot at the Republican National Convention tonight. We're going to take a closer look at the argument she's going to be making to Trump skeptics out there. Plus, we're also standing by to hear from President Biden, who is due to address the NAACP convention in Las Vegas this hour. Plus, New Jersey Democratic Senator Bob Menendez found guilty on all counts in his bribery and corruption trial.
I have never been anything but a patriot of my country and for my country. I have never, ever been a foreign agent.
The punishment he faces and the calls for him to immediately resign from the U.S. Senate. That's next.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality, certified pros at Angie.com.
They say opposites attract. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is the best bed for couples. You can each choose what's right for you whenever you like. You like a bed that feels firm but they want soft? Sleep Number does that. You want to sleep cooler while they like to feel warm? Sleep Number does that too. You have to feel it to believe it. Find the bed that's for both of you, only at a Sleep Number store. 9 out of 10 couples say that they sleep better on a Sleep Number smart bed. Only Sleep Number smart bed lets you choose your ideal comfort and support your Sleep Number setting. Sleep Number smart beds automatically respond and adjust to your movements so that you sleep comfortably all night long. Beat the summer heat. Temperature balancing bedding, like True Temp bedding, is designed to move heat and humidity away so you sleep just right. Can't agree on temperature? The Sleep Number Climate 360 smart bed lets you adjust up to 30 degrees cooler or warmer on either side, so you can be polar opposites in the same bed. Sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in store. And now, Sleep Number smart beds starting at $999. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards, only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome back. We're live in Milwaukee in Battleground, Wisconsin, day two of the 2024 Republican National Convention. There is quite a bit to cover. Let's go straight to the political panel to discuss all of it. David Chalian, we just heard from Eric Trump. Your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, just from a human perspective, it's harrowing to listen to him talk about sitting with his kids and watching this, or his kids encountering at camp, somebody saying, I heard your grandfather got shot. I mean, that it's like a whole different experience from everybody else.
Obviously. Kids are like 4 and 6. They're little. Can you imagine watching that with your kids?
That's just like unbelievably painful to hear that they went through that. His demand for accountability on this and from the Secret Service is interesting to hear, as was his pushback on some notion that the agents weren't doing their job in the protective detail.
Right, he defended the agents.
Exactly.
But there, he said obviously some larger issue was there.
And clearly, President Biden feels the same way. I mean, and you've heard the call for the independent review, and to be separate and apart from the department so that we can get a thorough understanding. There's, as Mayorkas said, there clearly was a failure here.
Yeah. Nia Malika Henderson, Nikki Haley was not initially invited to speak at the Republican convention, but tonight she will address the convention. There's this big question about whether her supporters, the people who continue to vote for her even months after she dropped out, can come back to the Republican fold. A source with knowledge of Haley's speech tells me that she is going to make the case directly to those voters tonight. How important are those voters to Trump?
Very, very important. I mean, they're, 10, 20, 30% maybe of the party. They continue to vote for Nikki Haley even after she dropped out. I've been in touch with these folks. They, for instance, until the very end, were holding out hope that she would even be his vice president. They didn't really like the Vance pick, but they respect her. They respect her ideas. They respect her sort of establishment approach to politics, her more moderate stances on any number of issues. She really went after Donald Trump in very personal ways, basically saying he was too old to be president, he was unfit to be president, and those are the things that these voters believe. They think his character is flawed. So she, I think, has a lot of work to do in trying to change these people's minds, but I think it is good that she is there. I think, obviously, some of these people are reachable. Some of the ones I talk to say, they might write her in. They're sort of wavering in terms of Biden. And maybe they could be persuaded to get back in the Trump camp. So I think she's going to be a real pivotal person in trying to convince them to unify and get behind Donald Trump.
I do wonder, Audie, if all the talk of Joe Biden and his lack of support within the Democratic Party, both voters, according to polls, and Democratic officials we know who are publicly calling and privately calling for him to step down from the top of the ticket, I wonder if that makes Haley's job easier. To convince those voters, and also just rhetorically, because she was out there saying while she was still a candidate, Joe Biden's not going to be president if he gets reelected. It's going to be Kamala Harris. He's not going to be able to serve all 4 years. I remember there one anchor gave her some pushback, and she had a little fun with that anchor after the bad debate performance.
I don't think that Nikki Haley is going to be on stage to do an actual convincing job to the voters. In a way, she's part of a narrative we're seeing over the couple of days, which is the narrative of conversion. So if you're not completely rah-rah Trump, you've been on the stage as a Teamster, as Amber Rose, hip-hop royalty to various degrees, and you're there to say, I was once lost and now I'm found. I didn't like Trump, but now I do. Here's how I made it through that transition, and you can too, people at home. And I think that's a little bit of what Nikki Haley will be there to do, to say, even I, who said this, this, that, and the other, have come to see X because Joe Biden is Y. And each night, there'll be someone on stage who kind of plays that role.
Yeah. Amber Rose, from Wiz Khalifa to Donald Trump. Manu, Trump's running mate, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, was asked to explain his previous views on Donald Trump, which were really, really harsh, with his now pairing up with him for the presidency and vice presidency. Here's what he said on Fox last night.
I was certainly skeptical of Donald Trump in 2016, but President Trump was a great president, and he changed my mind. I can make a good case to the American people who may have been skeptical of the president back in 2016, who can be skeptical now that we've seen the results?
What do you think, Mike?
Well, I mean, it also helped the fact that it was Donald Trump who essentially got him his Senate seat. If it were not for Trump essentially intervening in that 2022 Senate primary, he would not have won that race. He was stuck essentially towards the bottom of the pack. But really, his evolution marks, of course, the transformation of the whole Republican Party and, among another candidates, down ticket. What will be interesting also tonight Jake, is that there are a number of Senate Republican candidates who are speaking tonight in swing states from Wisconsin, from Pennsylvania, from even
Michigan, right?
Michigan. Yeah, there are lots of this typically in a difficult election environment. Those candidates are running away from polarizing candidates at the top of the ticket. This is a much different Republican Party, and it'll be very evident tonight when these candidates speak.
And Jeff Zeleny, CNN's reported on some of the fraudulent electors and election deniers picked to be delegates to represent their states here at the RNC. Take a look at this.
And this entire delegation cast their 43 delegates to Donald J. Trump!
So that's Arizona's delegation chair, Shelby Bush, who said this just last month.
When Stephen Richard walked in this room, I went lynchhead. I don't unify with people who don't believe in the principles we believe in and the American cause that founded this country.
Stephen Richer, who she said, if he walked into this room, I would lynch him. He's a Republican whose offense was that he spoke out against Trump's election lies.
Obviously, that came before the unity memo went across in the wake of the assassination attempt. I mean, we joke, but the reality here is I think we're already seeing day by day by day. We're only 3 days on since Saturday. You can almost feel this crescendo starting to build to returning to a place where we were before. But as for the election deniers, I mean, talking to delegates and talking to Republican officials, I mean, this is Donald Trump's Republican Party. There are many people who are not in favor of early voting. There are many people who think Democrats are trying to steal the election. So we shouldn't be surprised that, you know, sort of the entire breadth of this GOP is here. But as for those specific comments about lynching someone, let's hope for the next 111 days those don't happen. But we are going to return to campaign mode, and it is a heated campaign.
Indeed. Thanks to all of you. How will J.D. Vance, the senator from Ohio, reconcile his past opposition to Trump, as well as his harsh stance on abortion that Trump is trying to get the GOP to shy away from? One of Vance's closest allies in the U.S. Senate will join me next. And we're back live from Milwaukee, Wisconsin for day two of the 2024 Republican National Convention. U.S. Senator J.D. Vance from Ohio, a once pointed critic of former President Trump, has now turned protege and is now his running mate. I want to bring in a close colleague of the Republican vice presidential nominee with us right now, Republican Senator Eric Schmidt of the great state of Missouri. Senator, thanks so much for joining us. What did Senator Vance tell you after he was chosen?
I mean, he was excited. I called him and we had been talking throughout this process, and it's a pretty unique life experience. We were at dinner just a couple weeks ago, and he was just sort of talking about that. We've got a freshman class that's pretty close. But I just said, I'm happy for you. I'm happy for the country. And, you know, he didn't know for sure, right, that this was all going to play out until as
like 20 minutes before,
right,
or something, right?
Right. So I talked to him before that, and then I talked to him right after that, and he was excited.
So, I mean, also, it's something of a, I wouldn't call it a risky pick, but he's 39. He's only been in the Senate for a year and a half. He doesn't have the background like you. I mean, you were a state attorney general first. It is, in a way, it's conventional because he is probably the Trumpiest of those guys, of the finalists. But also, in another way, it is a little risky. I mean, he's...
I don't know. I think it sends a strong signal of who we're fighting for as a party, which is, I believe, and I'm glad because I grew up in a blue-collar family in a working-class neighborhood, that we are there for working-class Americans. So I think that put an exclamation point on what, you know, President Trump has sort of been known for. I viewed it as a big positive. I think it accentuates JD's background, and he can speak on those issues with a lot of credibility. When you talk about the challenges that, whether it's of addiction or just, you know, jobs being shipped overseas, I mean, JD's lived that life and came out on the other side, and I think he's a great spokesman for it.
How was he able to surmount the fact that he had been such a vocal critic of Donald Trump in 2016? I get that that's a long time ago. But he said harsher things than a lot of MSNBC anchors. I mean, like, how did he do that?
I mean, I think if you take his answer, right, he basically said, look, I was wrong.
Yeah.
And he went through that endorsement process in 2022 and then has remained close with President Trump and been a staunch ally. And so I think that's what matters most, right, is where are you going to be at on the issues? And I think he's a very effective spokesman. Like I said, he's a great messenger, which I think is why is another reason it's a great pick.
One of the issues that Democrats think is going to matter a lot in November is abortion and abortion rights. Obviously, since the overturning of Roe v. Wade, there pretty much has been a romp by the pro-abortion rights forces when it comes to referenda on the issue, whether it's in Ohio or Montana or Kentucky. I want you to take a listen to what Senator Vance had to say about this issue last night on Fox.
Donald Trump is the leader of the Republican Party, and his views on abortion are going to be the views that dominate this party and drive this party forward. You have to believe in reasonable exceptions because that's where the American people are, and you've got to let individual states make this decision.
So where the American people are, just according to polling, 63% of American adults say abortion should be legal in all or most cases. 36% say it should be illegal in all or most cases. So how does that compute when it comes to J.D. Vance and his position on abortion, which is pretty much 100% pro-life in his words?
Well, I think, look, what conservatives have fought for all along for those number of years was to get this issue back into the states, right? This was a political discussion that nine justices took away, right, with one fell swoop. So normally in our society, we grapple with these things, right, through the electoral process, through our democracy, through our constitutional republic. That was taken away when Roe v. Wade was decided. So this issue's going back to the states. So that might be a national poll. But again, I think it's important. What might, you know, pass in Missouri, maybe very different in Idaho, maybe different in New York. And I think that's what conservatives have been fighting for. And that's what we're going to get. So I think when you hear, like, where are people going to weigh in, they're going to wrestle with this. It's going to be on the ballot probably in Missouri. It's going to be on the ballot in Florida. And those outcomes are going to be very different. And by the way, it may not end there, right? You're going to have different ballot initiatives. It may take a decade for this thing to ultimately play itself out. But, you know, I've always advocated for the people to actually weigh in on this. That was taken away for a very long time.
All right, Senator Schmidt, thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate it. With so much attention here in Milwaukee, the discomfort among Democrats raising serious questions about President Biden at the top of their ticket continues. More on that next.
They say opposites attract. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is the best bed for couples. You can each choose what's right for you whenever you like. You like a bed that feels firm but they want soft? Sleep Number does that. You want to sleep cooler while they like to feel warm? Sleep Number does that too. You have to feel it to believe it. Find the bed that's for both of you. Only at a Sleep Number store. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, Sleep Number smart beds starting at $999. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
You had the home on the market for almost a year?
Yes.
When selling homes seems impossible.
Drawer matches your floor. That's not common.
Real Estate Super Sisters are to the rescue.
This might be our biggest transformation.
Oh my word.
We got 5 offers at $20,000 over our list price.
I was going to be happy if we got list price.
Now you're even more happy.
Yes.
Whether you're buying or selling, we've got your back.
Unsellable Houses. Season premiere Wednesday, September 4th at 8 on HGTV.
At any moment, we're expecting President Biden to make his latest pitch in the battleground state of Nevada, addressing the NAACP. It's a major gathering of black voters and activists. Though public calls for Biden to step aside have quelled in recent days, CNN sources say that private efforts are still very much alive. The Washington Post also reporting that some Democratic lawmakers and campaign staff worry that some of Biden's top aides might not be giving him the full picture on the state of the race, allowing him to feel more optimistic than he should. Some House Democrats are even circulating a letter to delay Biden's official nomination. They're now in a potentially messy collision course with Biden allies who are working to solidify Biden atop the ticket by moving up his nomination vote to as early as next week. Let's toss this over to Aaron Burnett, who's with a group of political experts who have been following the story closely. Aaron?
All right, Jake. So, Jamal, you know, obviously, as a longtime Democratic strategist, it is incredible to see what we're watching here with these machinations behind the scene and what seems to be a willingness by some in the Democratic Party to sort of throw out the rules if it's in their interest to remove the top of the ticket.
There are embers that are still around of people who are saying whether or not Joe Biden should stay at the top of the ticket, but I don't detect any flames. Now, those embers could always spark and something could happen. But over the last few days, particularly since Saturday, things have calmed down very much more than they were last week. The president has done a good job, I think, managing this crisis after the assassination attempt. And I think that, too, has made people feel like he's on top of this crisis in a way that that gives some comfort to people who are watching this.
Important analogy. I mean, we have embers versus flames. All right. So what do the polls show? What are the polls? So when you look at the battleground states, I mean, I know the general national polls post that debate didn't really show much of a move. I know this comes down to a few states. How do you see it?
So there wasn't really that much of a move. And even if you watched the debate and you thought you were witnessing a political earthquake, it has registered only as a modest tremor. And we may well see the same thing come in the aftermath of Saturday's tragic near assassination of Donald Trump, that it felt like an earthquake may only show up in the polls as a tremor. The problem Joe Biden has is the fundamentals are really against him. His job approval is low, and he's struggling with key parts of the Democratic coalition, including black men in particular. So that's why this speech that Biden's about to give is really interesting, because this is a piece of the Democratic coalition where there has been some real and sustained attrition of his support that he needs to regain if he wants to have a shot at beating Donald Trump.
I mean, look, a Democratic president cannot win with the numbers that Joe Biden currently has with black voters, specifically younger black voters. And a lot of young black men, maybe 16, 17, 18% nationally, I think, may potentially vote for Donald Trump. This idea that Joe Biden can lead the country for another 4 years, Aaron, is naive to me. I don't think there's a single person in the United States of America who believes Joe Biden, if he were to win, could continue on. And I think that's why you're seeing this mathematical deficit, not only with Democratic voters, but also with independent voters who are saying, give us somebody else or we're sitting on the couch. And I think a lot of people will be on the couch.
All right, but the polls on black voters, and obviously he is about to address the NAACP in this context, that attrition that Schermichael's talking about is not new.
No, I mean, look, we're all living in the shadow of the disintegration of the FDR coalition, which has been coming apart for almost a century now. And little bits and pieces have moved into the Republican coalition or moved into the gettable realm of the independents. The problem is that the Democratic Party really does need massive turnout of African Americans to sustain them, given how much of the white working class that they've lost. And then when you particularly look at the battleground states, talking about the national polls overlooks the fact that the Electoral College, you need about three more points for the Democrat at this point to surmount the lead that Republicans have in those battleground states. And so what we see right now with Joe Biden, I mean, I agree with Schermichael on this, what we see with Joe Biden, he's not really campaigning for president right now. He's campaigning to stay president. And that's just a very different vibe.
I will tell you, I was in Detroit over the weekend with my African-American family and a lot of friends. And I kept asking
this question. Well, he gave that very rousing rally on Friday.
He did have a great rally. It was at my rival high school, so I didn't particularly want to go there. But
never let go of your
coaches. Never go to Renaissance High School. Cass Tech. But what we did see, though, is I talked to a lot of people. And I'll tell you, people were very sober about it. They got the idea that Joe Biden might be struggling. But they said anybody but Donald Trump. And I think they're willing to go along with him. So this crowd that I think he's going to talk to in Las Vegas, which will be older, which will be probably a little bit more educated, a little bit more activist, they are going to rally behind Joe Biden. I think you expect to see them do very well. It won't be a crowd like the one Schermichael's talking about that's younger, that maybe has a few more questions.
Yeah, but that's the problem, right? He needs more than just those older, more affluent, educated African-Americans.
But those people vote.
They do, but you also need a coalition of Latino voters. You need a coalition of suburban white voters, where there's a continued deficit for the president, which, again, is why I think many Democratic lawmakers are looking at the realities of these polls and say, look, you can't win my state of Michigan. You can't win in Arizona. You can't win in Wisconsin. We need someone else.
I do think, though, that this is also an issue of, is this about Trump versus Biden, or is this about the Democratic Party struggling with this group? I did a focus group for the New York Times of 11 black men who were voting for Donald Trump. Their concerns were not just about Biden's specifically, but what they felt was an approach from the Democratic Party that did not speak to them.
So it's not you swap for fill in the blank of your favorite candidate of the day, and all of a sudden they feel differently.
Correct.
All right. All stay with us as our rolling coverage continues. Now, meantime, on the Democratic Party, gold bars, stacks of cash, a luxury car. You may know who we're talking about. Now a guilty verdict today. The latest in the criminal saga of a senator that is like a Sopranos episode. Next.
Guilty
Guilty, 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 guilty on all charges. Just hours ago, a jury convicted New Jersey Democratic Senator Bob Menendez on all 16 counts, including bribery and extortion and wire fraud and obstruction of justice and acting as a foreign agent in his federal corruption trial. CNN's Kara Scannell is live in New York outside the courthouse. And Kara, what did Senator Menendez say about the verdict as he left court today?
Well, Jake, as those first jury guilty verdict was read in court, the senator shook his head from side to side. He came outside to speak to the cameras. He was defiant and pledged to appeal. Here's more of what he said.
Obviously, I'm deeply, deeply disappointed by the jury's decision. I have every faith that the law and the facts did not sustain that decision and that we will be successful upon appeal. I have never violated my public oath. I have never been anything but a patriot of my country and for my country. I have never, ever been a foreign agent.
Now, Jake, the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, Damian Williams, also came out to speak to the cameras. He said this was a shocking level of corruption that was brought to an end by this conviction. Prosecutors say that Menendez sold the power of his office in exchange for gold bars, nearly $500,000 in cash, and acted as an agent for the government of Egypt while he was chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. There are growing calls for his resignation, including tonight from Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, as well as New Jersey Senator Cory Booker. Now, a conviction is no automatic expulsion from Congress, so it would require a two-thirds vote by the Senate. Jake?
Kara Scannell, thanks so much. A video of a phone call between Donald Trump and RFK Jr. What we see is not causing a stir, yet what you hear is sparking alarm. That's next. Former President Donald Trump continues to espouse false conspiracy theories about childhood vaccines. A leaked video by Robert Kennedy Jr.'s son shows Trump calling RFK Jr. and making these false claims about vaccines during that phone call. Take a listen.
Feed a baby, Bobby, and vaccination that has like 38 different vaccines, and it looks like it's meant for a horse, not a, you know, 10-pound or 20-pound baby. And then you see the baby all of a sudden starting to change radically. I've seen it too many times. And then you hear that it doesn't have an impact, right?
This conspiracy theory about the dangers of childhood vaccines is flat out wrong. According to the Department of Health and Human Services, severe allergic reactions to vaccines are quite rare, happening to about 1 in 1 million people. And according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, vaccines ultimately protect children by training the body's immune system to recognize viruses that children have not yet been exposed to. This is not about wild opinions shared on phone calls, just a matter of medical and scientific fact. I'll be back for special coverage of night 2 of the Republican National Convention tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Our coverage continues right now with Wolf Blitzer and Aaron Burnett.
They say opposites attract. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is the best bed for couples. You can each choose what's right for you whenever you like. You like a bed that feels firm but they want soft? Sleep Number does that. You want to sleep cooler while they like to feel warm? Sleep Number does that too. You have to feel it to believe it. Find the bed that's for both of you. Only at a Sleep Number store. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, Sleep Number smart beds starting at $999. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.